Man, welcome back. Episode 14, coming to you from New York, where it's cold as shit out here, man. How do y'all do it? Lord. Man, my brother Jack, good to see you.
Good to see you, my boy.
Back man, we got the one and only. Kevin Durant, man.
Hey,
Dizzle. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Brody. Good to see you, boy.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you coming in, man.
Yes, sir.
Out here on the East Coast. You're an East Coast dude.
Man, welcome back, man.
Yeah.
You started your career out here, basically,
right? Early, yeah. Let's jump right into it, man. Something that I've always kind of been on your side with because I'm one of these similar type people where social media, I think people think because you can access anybody, you could say anything you fucking want to people.
Yeah.
And you're someone that, like, I don't give a fuck my status. I am him. But if you disrespect me, I'm going to come at you. Tell me your thought process about that platform.
I mean, it's really simple. It's not like, I like Twitter. I mean, shit, if I see something on there that I want to respond to, I'm just going to do it. It's not like a predetermined thing. I just kind of see it, scroll on it. I like the platform. And if any chance I get to give somebody a piece of my brain, I want to do it.
When you hear people say, like, well, he's Kevin Durant. Why is he this? Why is he that? Like, what's your response to that?
I don't really know what that means. Like,
you're just you.
Yes.
like they hold you to a high standard, but they expect all your opinions to be the same way that they would think.
Exactly.
So it's a problem if they disagree with it.
Exactly. So, you know, everybody, when you get to this level where you're that good at something, so everybody feel like that they can tell you what's best for you. You know what I mean? It's like, even from the team that I want to go to what I say on Twitter, it's just like everybody feel like they know what's best.
Right.
I'm like, I appreciate y'all, you know, but I got this.
They think,
you
know, I'm pretty good at being me.
Yeah, I'm cool at
being
me.
I'm pretty good
sometimes at being me. Sometimes a motherfucker got to hear it. You know, sometimes you got to be like, motherfucker, can you do it? When was the last time you scored a bucket?
Exactly.
Did you make your church league team, motherfucker? You got cut from Boys and Girls Club. Like, stop talking shit.
But
sometimes
I always
they gotta
say,
hear that
too,
shit.
Because it's just like, well, he should turn the other shoulder. He's bigger. Like, no one knows how it feels, especially on your level, to have everyone attack a move you made.
Yeah.
You took your happiness in your own hand. Okay, see, I love you. I appreciate everything that happened. I'm gonna go fuck with these Warriors.
Yeah.
And instantly, you become the villain. You know what I mean? So to be able to have the strong enough shoulders to be able to take all the criticism and constant, it's still going on. I see it. The slander is ridiculous. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, me just being me and responding to stuff and interacting with people, I think the reason why all this shit's still going on, I think a lot of the media feel like they bullying me. They want to bully me, and they feel like they found a little crack or a crease in my armor, and they want to use that against me somehow. Mm-hmm. So they continue to just regurgitate the same old stories, the same old storylines, and, you know, recreate beefs with players, that former
don't
teammates.
Exist,
right? And it's just...
They blow everything out of proportion.
Yeah,
I see
like, I see what you're doing, and that's the reason why I don't like the media in the first place. And it's just, if the shoe fits, I'm not just grouping everybody in the same thing, but it's just like, there's a reason why I don't fuck with y'all. But I know what you're trying to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're not slick. And, you know, when I call it out, I guess I'm the sensitive guy.
So now, it's funny you say that because we're both on the other side now. So we see it. So I think as a player, we have a major responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I call players on it, too. Because when Perk said that shit, I'm just like, bro, like, as former players, you know what this shit is like. So don't let these motherfuckers hype you up
into
just saying some shit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, and we actually got into it a little bit of back and forth because I said it on Twitter. He hit me back on this shit, and I knew everyone wanted us to argue, so I DM'd him. Like, Brian, got your number, but let's talk about this. You know what I mean? So, but what I was saying was, it's just like, you can give Russ all the props you want, but you ain't got to shit on him in the process.
Exactly.
Like, I think today, like, to show love to one, you have to shit on somebody else.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? To
that
me, that's what fucks
thing.
Me up.
Russell going back to Oklahoma City was a great thing, but you knew that you saying, like, I'm going to announce why Russell is the greatest Thunder player ever. You knew that was a divisive statement. You knew that people would. You knew people would kind of like, oh, that's a shot at KD. Like, you know that. So my whole thing is like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to in order for you to praise Russell, got to shit on me.
Right.
Because that's what the fans and
that's what they want.
The media in Oklahoma City, that's what they kind of like made their money off of the last 4 years is shitting on me.
Mm-hmm.
So like, Perk, you just playing into that because you want a job and you want some notoriety in your profession. But we were friends before this. We actually we actually played basketball games before this. Like, I know your family, so why are you trying to use that tactic against one of your so-called brothers? So that was my whole thing. And then he called me out on Twitter to another fan about us losing in the second round. I'm just like, Kirk, you're on the same team with me. And, like, you started, and you didn't play well. So, like, I wouldn't say, well, Perk lost in the second round to Memphis. No, we all did, but don't call out a teammate. Like, we once a teammate, you always a teammate. Mm-hmm. So, like, don't
have let y'all these talk people... sense?
Nah, ain't no need, nah. Because I know what his whole thing is. I know what it's wrapped around. I know it's bigger and deeper than just what he's saying on Twitter or him, you know, trying to prove a point. He got, you know, he want to do something in his life, and I get that, but I'm just trying to let people know that I don't really deal with Perk like that. Mm-hmm.
And, like, when I get asked about it, my stance is, like, that's how I kind of met you through Perk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that should have been handled a different way. Like, even if he disagreed or how he felt, he could have called you, and y'all could have handled it a different kind of way. That's, when people ask about it, I say both of my little brothers, I really don't want to get involved, because they was brothers at one point. They was partners at one point.
Like you know said, what I'm saying? It's deeper than rap.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Like, he and I had a chance to talk, and we talked eye to eye and gave them mutual respect. But, like, to me, as players, they're able to cross over, and they're letting us in this space right now. Like, I think what makes us amazing is our authenticity. And none of these other motherfuckers have ever been in the locker room and know what it's like to even lace these motherfuckers up.
Exactly.
I mean, so we have a certain responsibility to always G-code it. Behind the scenes is different. You know what I mean? I've heard bad experience. I've seen some experiences. I know what my experience is, and it just kind of is what it is. And the way I look at these is just like, if they want to use me up for my game, I'm going to use that platform like a motherfucker and capitalize.
But at the end of the day, they always got the control. That's why it's good to have your own media outlet where you control your own narrative.
That's why you got to, because you want to tell your motherfucking story, come to All the Smoke.
Yeah, come here.
Death row.
Yeah,
say what you need to
right
say.
Bam, look at the jacket on your ass. What other podcast got jackets like this? No one.
God damn it.
Yeah.
We out here.
All right, man, let's get back on track, man. Let's talk about where you are right now in your recovery process.
Yeah, man, I'm getting there, man. It's been, I don't even know how many months it's been, but I'm progressing. I'm getting on the court. I'm starting some basketball stuff.
I'm tired of watching you hooping with nuts on, doing the games on the court, doing your moves.
With you, you said it's nuts on?
I'm shadowing. I'm killing. One on none. I'm working, man. Every single day I'm working, and, you know, I'm getting closer and closer to being, you know, back to myself as much as I can, you know. It's a tough-ass injury, man. Mm. It's frustrating. Every day, just doing the small shit, you know. I just like to, you know, no holds barred, just go hoop. But you got to prepare, warm up to warm up to get ready for the next thing. It's just like, for me, somebody who doesn't understand patience when it comes to this shit, it's tough.
How's it like, I know you, and I know how much you love the game. Just, you know, sitting there and being away from the game, dog. I know that's driving you crazy more than anything.
Yeah, it's stressful, man. It is, you know, because I was on a good pace, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was playing well. I mean, 12 straight years of doing what I was doing, it was like, you know, I feel like I hit Hall of Fame status early in my career, and I just want to keep adding on to it and then just get a clean break like that. It's definitely stopped momentum, but, you know, as always,
marathon continues.
Yeah, you just switch your focus a little bit and redirect yourself and see where it goes from there. But I learned so much in that time that I can kind of apply it to this new phase. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's what I want to ask you. What have you learned, like, sitting there and watching your team and where you can plug in and be your best?
I just playing in so many different positions with the
showing
Warriors.
Showing up, nigga. Just showing up.
Playing as
Yeah, nigga.
Yeah, I feel like. I feel like.
Seven on the court.
I play so many different roles with the Warriors. You know, I feel like, you know, with the Thunder, I was just learning who I was as a player, learning how to score in the NBA, learning how to just make basic reads in the NBA. And then when I got to the Warriors, just like being innovative at real fast. You know how we play, you know, backdoor cut gonna present itself fast. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure it's there, or like we never planned some of that shit. So just learning on the fly like that and just mixing those two, combining those two experiences together and bringing them to the Nets, you know, I'm just looking forward to just stepping, like you said, just stepping out on the court and seeing how my presence affects my teammates, you know what I mean? And then seeing how they can put me in positions to be successful moving forward now that I had a tough injury.
Your presence is a presence.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see that dynamic. Oof. You, DJ, and Kyrie.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Okay, I'm sorry.
My bad. Take me back to the finals.
Yeah.
Last year. And I say sometimes as athletes, we need to be protected from ourselves, because at the end of the day, we got that say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're on the brink of your third straight title, finals MVP, the prior 2 years. Tell me where your mindset was to come back and try to help your team get over that hump?
I mean, as I started getting healthy, I started, you know, having these pictures in my mind about what it'd be like to come back from down 3-1. I know for a fact I wasn't going to get finals MVP, but seeing, you know, Steph get that moment, I was looking forward to that. Or Clay, whoever it was at that time. I was just picturing so much in my mind at that point of just great things happening if I step back on the court. And, you know, it started to turn that way. First quarter. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was just like, you know, I could tell, you know, when I went back to the bench, the confidence my teammates had, the whole organization, like, I could look down and see, you know, our fans and E-40, everybody just had a sense of like, man, we here now.
It's over.
And I knew the fans back in the Bay was just so excited that I was playing again. And, you know, it was just a life is crazy. You know, you can be on that high so fast, and then in a matter of seconds, you go back down. I'm grateful for it. It's fucked up that I had to go through it, but I'm also grateful that I can experience it, because down the line, I can be able to speak on how much it helped me as a player and a person.
What was it like once you went down, knowing you're down, and then seeing Clay go down, and then the Raptors winning a championship, knowing that should have been your guys' third in a row?
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough because I feel like throughout the season, we could have locked in a little bit earlier for the playoffs. And I feel like when we getting down to that moment, it was just like, damn, it, having me and Clay out and not winning the championship after planning for so long, just like, that's just how the gods work. That's just how the games work sometimes. And it was just like throughout the regular season, I really wish that we'd have locked in a little bit more. You know what I mean? It had a little bit more game plan, a little bit more focus going into the season so that like it didn't have to end that way. You know what I'm saying? It's like we waited so long just for that moment instead of like each game was important. You know, right. Even in the regular season, even in the first round, it was like we waited so long just for the finals and it happened that way. It made me think about the whole season as a whole.
That's a gift and a curse, you know what I mean? Because for them, it was a 5-year run to know that, bro, we're going to be playing until June every year.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know what I mean? It's a lot of basketball.
It's a lot.
You know what I mean?
And I didn't realize that until we started getting into the playoffs and we played Houston, and it was just like, shit, this is the third year of us making this run. It's tough. And so 2 more years before that, I know mentally, you know.
Draining.
It's draining. It's draining, and I got it. But it was like, shit, it's right in our hands. It's right there for us to get a three-peat. It hasn't happened in a while. So, you know, it's that point where I was like, let's just fucking lock in and do it.
Take me back to Oklahoma City, up 3-1, losing the series, Warriors coming back and beating you guys, and then is where all the brunt of this, I feel like, happened. People were mad that you were up 3-1, bounced, took your career in your own and your happiness in your own hands.
Only losers didn't understand that.
Yeah,
yeah, which you're fucking supposed to, because it's a business when they cut, trade, wave, whatever, it's a business. But when we do it, it's a problem.
Yeah.
You take that to the West Coast. Tell me what that transition period was like, where you were the motherfucking beloved. You were the next coming of who? I mean, like you said, you reached Hall of Fame status early. You were on the way.
So tell and people me like me, like people genuinely
they really fuck with you, love you.
And then in a matter of
and
moments,
overnight changing.
They didn't. It was, see, the Warriors were so intriguing because I always, with OKC, I played with a lot of athletes. I didn't play with a lot of skilled guys, not like shooters, ball handlers. So after a while, my game started to grow. I was like, I need a change. This is before the season even started. You know what I mean? And it was like, I'm going to play out my last season as hard as I can. And I'm not telling anybody I want to leave. I'm not packing in. I'm trying to win as much as we can and trying to end this outright. That was my thinking going in before the year. And obviously, I had a few teams, but the Warriors is a team I wanted to play for because, you know, the movement they had, the passing, they led the league in assists. And when Scott Brooks is my coach, that's all we talked about is wanting to lead the league in assists. And so playing with, you know, that team, that's what I was thinking about. So when we got to the playoffs, it's just like, you know, let's see what happens. We got a young team. We beat San Antonio in 6. Like, that's a great win. That's a great win against a team that's been running through people all season. And, you know, Russell had to make big shots. I had to make big shots. Andre Roberson came alive. Deion Waiters started to play well. So I'm like, all right, we get some momentum. Ennis Kanter was coming on. Then we get to the Warriors. It's just a whole different series. You know they're going to sell out to stop me. meaning they're going to leave Andre Roberson.
Anybody but you.
I would,
anybody
too.
Anybody but me.
I would leave Andre Roberson, too.
And I'm just like...
He couldn't hit a house if he was in the kitchen. What the fuck you mean? I'll leave his ass.
He was a he was great for our team in that series because he can guard. But he knew that he wasn't going to help us shooting threes. Mm-hmm. And everybody in the world knew that. So, and it's easy for a team to guard us when we got guys that not respected from the three. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I was tired of playing in that system. I was tired of like having to be the only guy that can make threes, yeah. make jump shots, and consistently make them. So my mind was already thinking about how can I develop my game more so than like the Warriors versus Thunder, that rivalry. Like even if that was a rivalry, I didn't give a fuck. I just wanted to keep developing my game. And on top of that, we only played them one time in the playoffs. So I didn't really feel like a genuine deep hate mm-hmm. for right. the Warriors. You know what I'm saying? Right. It was just like they're a new fresh team. They on the rise. I fuck with them. And I'm gonna play hard against them. I know some of their players. It is what it is. It's like San Antonio those years when you was on the team, I didn't like y'all.
Yeah, that was a rival.
Yeah, Memphis when we played them, I didn't like Memphis at all. Like, those are the teams we've seen every year in the playoffs. The Warriors, they were just like another team to me. So me going there and playing for them, it didn't matter if we'd have won or lost the series, I wanted to play there and live in the Bay.
Yes, sir.
The Bay is, it's like nothing else. I mean, the fans, the opportunity, yes. the love they show. I mean, they still love you to death.
Man, it's like a different culture. It's not like, it don't even feel like you, like, in California, the Bay is just like its own thing.
Its own place,
like,
yeah.
I can't even explain it. It's just like being there, I really felt like I stamped myself as a legend in the Bay. I mean, like, you look at, I'm not comparing myself to these guys, but guys that won in the Bay, like Jerry Rice and Joe Montana.
Ooh,
and
now you got the us historical.
That won. Yeah, it won back-to-back in the Bay. It's like, shit.
Come on, man, forever.
Yeah, that's forever. So I'm really proud of that.
But tell me what it's like when you go there, because we were there with one culture, and I got a chance to go back and see that culture, and it was insane. Just the wanting to be there, the energy starting at the top with new ownership. You didn't see the old ownership, but the new ownership and just the energy and how those guys all fucked with each other. And then the chemistry carried on and off the court. Tell me what it's like being involved in that.
When I first came into the league, the Warriors were like a laughing stock almost. You know what I'm saying? Until y'all came around and beat the Mavs. You know what I'm saying? It was just like that team was... Like, all right, that's what Oakland is about. You know what I'm saying?
Grit.
Yeah, that grit and that grind with guys that on a basketball court that can play any position, that played like us before us, really. But, you know, four or five small players, you know, switching everything, shooting threes, just hooping. Like playing real backyard basketball. But, like, once that team was done, it was like in between, and it was just like, the Warriors.
What is it?
Yeah, What's the identity? You know yeah. what I'm saying? So that first year I got into the league, and then right after that, 4 or 5 years after that, didn't have an identity, and then to see the new ownership, and then the build around Steph and Clay, just their personas and just their stories, and how their dads played in the league, and it just changed from like, we got some inner city kids who tough as hell, who personify what Oakland is about, to like some guys that are just totally different, came up different. It's two totally different fields, but the game of basketball felt like it was the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was just how we came up. You know, how you came up in the struggle and grinding to get to your position, not being drafted early. Like, people felt that. You know, it felt like it was every guy on the team, from Monte to... Was Azubuki on that team?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Azubuki. It was so many guys
Petrus,
on that team.
Petrus, yeah.
Like, everybody was just like some cast-offs. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they just threw together, and then you come with a more structured environment with Steph and Clay and Draymond. They got drafted and groomed. It was just like night and day off the court, but and their stories. But once you looked at the games, it felt like, shit, we played the same way y'all did.
Mm-hmm.
And we got it from y'all, basically.
Y'all just had some MVPs, motherfuckers. Yeah, y'all had some.
They said, Jack said, we played the same way. The motherfuckers just made more threes.
Yeah,
exactly. We just made more threes. So what, you guys are going, you win, and like I said, understanding and being around and knowing Draymond, when that shit happened in L.A., I'm like,
yeah,
damn, like, I understand him because he's wears his heart on his sleeve, always speaks from the cuff, and most of the time it's right. You know what I mean? But the shit he said was over the motherfucking line.
It was out of line.
So how did that happen? Run me through that.
I mean, it really came out of nowhere. The play happened. I was going to grab a rebound. He came and grabbed it. I'm thinking he's going to just toss it to me and we're going to run up court and I'm going to shoot the shot.
The whole world thinking that, not just you.
Everybody thinking
Draymond,
that.
Come off the pill, my nigga. I fuck with you, but come off the rock right there. Everybody in the world knew you were supposed to come off the rock.
Yeah, everybody knew that. And we all figured that that would happen. And then when it didn't, I was kind of shocked. And then I was just like, oh, Dre, like, let me see that. You know what I'm saying?
What are you doing?
Like, what you doing? Then he turned it over. I'm like, I'm just so confused at that point because he never, ever did nothing like that before. And everybody on the bench was confused, too. And then we came back. Then I just heard him screaming, and then I was like, hold up. He usually screaming when he come back to the bench, but what is he saying? Then he started going off, and I'm just like, maybe it's because I was, like, fucking pissed that he didn't give me the rock, because I didn't say nothing. It was just in my body language. I was just clapping and just, like,
fuck. For your defense, Clay was pissed, too.
Clay was pissed,
too. Clay pissed, too. Like, throw one of us the rock.
Yeah.
You know you can't hit a house in the kitchen either.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Want us the rock and let us shoot the bitch.
So, man, then he started coming off the top with all of that stuff. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, Draymond is actually my friend. Like, somebody I can call when I'm going through anything. Like, yo, bro,
great dude.
Come through. Like, damn, bro, let's hang out tonight. Like, and for him to say that type of shit to me, it just threw me for a loop. And it was just really, I just started isolating myself after that because I didn't feel like, you know, they suspended Draymond, and it was just like, they had to so it won't look bad to everybody else. And then nobody talked to me about it or really, like, we never really came to an agreement that we didn't even voice our, nobody as a whole, because it happened in front of the whole team and nobody really talked about it. It was just swept under the rug. And to me, it's just like, we a family. We supposed to, like, even if he said that, we can move past it,
right.
But let's all talk about it. Let's just say how we all felt about that moment, because that's a huge moment in this whole dynasty. Like, you know what I mean? Don't just sweep it under the rug because we want to win.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why we're not going to win. You know what I mean? So I was like, let's just all talk about this. It's not that big of a deal. Like, just put it out on the table. We can move past it. And when that didn't happen, I was just like, fuck it. Let me just hoop and worry about myself. And we went on.
Well, see, I think that probably hurt y'all. Because if y'all would have came out and he would have heard more people saying, bro, you should have passed the ball. Bro, you should have passed the ball. I think he would have came outside himself and realized, like, you know what? Maybe I overreacted.
Yeah, it was.
He never got a chance to say that.
Yeah, I mean, Draymond, we all know what Draymond is. And it's like, it's fine that you want to do that, that you want to show your emotions and wear them on your sleeve. That's fine. But when it's over the line sometimes, let's just talk about it. So next time, you can tone it down just a bit. And I feel like we didn't have the opportunity to do so. Because we were so focused on trying to just move forward and win.
Right.
And I get that, too. But it's like, if we're a family and
we're going to hash it out and then we're going to move forward and win.
Yeah, we done won two chips together.
Right.
Bigger than, like,
right.
this is just some shit we can sit down and talk about.
Plus, but certain words don't come out, too. Like, we brothers, and I got in fist fights with my brothers, but certain words you don't say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Certain words you don't say, you know when that line is crossed.
Yeah. Well, I think he realized that, too. You mean, like I said, I think us knowing, we all know him. I think he realized he fucked up, he crossed the line, but that's what kind of duty is. But that even makes the point more, like, let's motherfucking sit down, have a drink, and really talk about this, all of us.
Me and him sat down and talked about it, and we kind of, you know, I gave him my piece on it, and he told me how he felt on it. But I'm like, it happened in front of the whole team.
That's everybody.
So everybody got to talk about it.
Because everybody fucked with each other. It wasn't like he was forcing it. Everybody really fucked with each other. You know what I mean? So let's sit down and hash that out.
And then again, everybody was thinking you was passing the rock, bro. It ain't just KD. It ain't just Clay. Everybody in the world thought you was coming off the rock.
Yeah, sure.
And you was wrong. Just admit you was wrong. That's the whole thing. I think that he had too much pride in the fact that he turned it over, and that made him react that way.
Yeah, but we know, shit, turnovers happen.
Exactly.
And 90% of the time,
you're
going to make the
best playmakers on the team.
Nobody really cared if we won or lost that game in the first place. It was just like, we in that situation, let's just go ahead try to finish it the right way. You know, but at the end of the day, nobody really cared about that win or loss. You know what I'm saying?
But this too, great coaches, when you don't get a shot at the end of the game like that, they be pissed. Greg Popovich, he'll sit your ass down the whole game if you fuck up a play coming out of timeout and don't get a shot up at the end.
Oh, yeah. I mean, shit, that'll make anybody pissed if you just turn it over at the end of a game.
I think the media kind of saw that as an entryway to kind of start dividing. These motherfuckers are so good. What can we start doing? What can we start developing to chink this armor?
Most definitely.
And I got it. Like, I was only there with y'all for 3 months, but I always saw, to me, when I looked like it, I was like, this is some cold shit, man. The media is cold, man. If you pay attention, these motherfuckers
are
really telling you what they're doing right in front of your face, but you can't do nothing because they glamour that shit up and put a bow on it.
Yep.
It was always, to me, KD and the Warriors. It was never the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant's a part of that team.
And I was looking at it, I was like, hold up. So D. West came the same time I came, but he's a Warrior, and I'm not. It makes no sense. JaVale McGee, same way. Like, yeah. He's a Warrior. Like, Ian Clark, he was there before me, but he left. Yeah. He didn't win the second championship with us, but he's a, like, it didn't make no sense to me. And I'm like, the media is just trying so hard to separate this thing. And I was just like, for what? Like, you didn't do that with LeBron and D-Wade and Bob. Like, you didn't do that with those guys. You didn't do that with KG and Paul Pierce. And you didn't try to separate them. It's like, oh, why are you trying to separate me from the rest of the team? Mm-hmm. And you actually are making this your job, your duty to do so, is to push this narrative every day. People call me wild for calling it out. But I'm just like, no, I think it's corny. It is what it is.
The fact you speak on it makes you, like you said, the fact you speak on the bullshit and you see it, you're bad.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, I'm
the
just
fact that you're this
fans.
Person, you're yeah. just, I'm just supposed to, y'all one of the greatest players ever to play. I'm just supposed to let it go. That's exactly. What you want me to do?
Because y'all supposed to be messengers to the fans and they looking at y'all and y'all can easily, like, brainwash people with y'all bullshit. And it's not about you. Yeah. If you're a media guy, nobody cares about you.
Real talk.
It's not about you. It's about
take
what you see on
the court. Take the ego out of it.
Yeah.
Take
so,
the ego
like,
out of
you're
it.
You're trying to put your whole style and flair on something that got nothing to do with you. This game going to be here. This game was here before you. It's going to be here way after you. So nobody cares about you. Cool. They don't care about me that much in 40 years, 50 years. They're going to look for the next thing. You know
Who's
what I'm saying?
Next?
So, like, get out the way.
That's why it's so important now, because you think back in the day, pre-social media, whatever they put out is the truth. And we never had a platform.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So that's why I love it when you're out here. I didn't like to use a burner phone. I would have said, fuck it, I'm Kevin Durant, motherfucker. I'm going to cuss you out. You talk some shit, I'm going to talk some shit. I'm going to speak my mind. You
I'm still
I mean?
Going to do the burner thing. I'm still going to do that.
You still on it?
Yeah. There's some shit that you just gotta
but
be
I'm
like,
saying,
these folks don't always
but I'm saying, fuck it, bro. I'm saying if I'm you, like, you know, if you come for me, I'm coming back with you.
For sure. Certain people I'm gonna come back on my regular account, but if I'm gonna try and do my thing,
hey,
I'm
so,
gonna
hey,
get
look
them
out.
And, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Look out.
Yeah, I got the burning.
It's still out there. It's lurking.
It's, I just slipped up that one time. You know why I slipped up? What's on the lookout?
On the lookout. So talk to me about when did you know that your time at Golden State was up?
I mean, I knew just about halfway point through the year. I mean, I could feel like, you know, there's a separation between the two. It just felt like everybody was just waiting on me to make a decision on free agency, even, you know, from the coaches to my teammates to the media. It's like
there was a narrative
was like,
throughout the season.
KD, like, what you gonna do? It's like January, and I'm like, yo, I'm just trying to hoop. That's all I want to do is play basketball every day. I came in every single day and kept my head down. I ain't say much. I wasn't too excited about much, so my coaches and my teammates thought something was wrong with me, but I was just like, I'm really focused on the end goal, which is to win the third championship in a row. And my methods may not, like, be welcoming to other people, but it's just how I do things, you know what I'm saying, how I approach the game. But for the most part, I really enjoyed my time there. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about the game of basketball, a lot about teamwork and camaraderie that I didn't know. I learned about coaching. I learned about, we were building a new arena. I learned about the business side of the game. Like, having dinners with Rick Welts was, like, fucking phenomenal to me. Like, me and Bob were like this. We still like this to this day. The respect that I got for Steph and Clay, like, I'm gonna be fucking playing golf with Steph at some point in my life, talking about these 3 years and like that run that we had in the Bay. Like, I'm not the one to, like, hold a grudge or be mad or not even talk about what we did. It's gonna always be on the topic of conversation. Everything I learned in Golden State is always gonna be at the top of my mind when I'm talking basketball, no matter if I play there or not. I just happen to want to play for another team. That just is what it is.
Did you ever consider anywhere else?
Not really. I looked at other places like
who?
The Clippers. And I mean, I took a peek at the Knicks, you know, like just because, you know, just to do my due diligence. But like, I really wanted to play for the black and white. I like the brand. I like Brooklyn was a new up and coming city that needed some new flair, you know, new basketball injection. Because being in Oklahoma City, I know what that was like, having a new franchise around. So I'm like, I was excited about hopefully doing something like that again in Brooklyn, you know, with the new team, playing with Kyrie Irving, who's from Jersey and got that tie with the Jersey side of things. So I'm like, we could bring
coming
in
home.
So many fans.
Coming
like,
home.
Yeah, it's like, we got a we had a solid thing going, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, Sean Marks, who was a young GM, up and coming, young team that has some experience a little bit in the playoffs. It just kind of all worked out. And then having a couple trainers and you know how that goes, coaches that I work with in OKC, work with, you know, throughout my time in the league, they just all, you know, felt like they migrated to the Nets and, you know.
It was right time.
Yeah, it just felt like it was perfect.
Talk about how it came about to become with Kyrie and then to have DJ join you. How was that orchestrated?
I've had conversations with Kyrie for the last 2 years, you know, not even about playing together, but just
brothers.
Yeah, just brothers. And, you know, we didn't plan on playing together. We played each other in my second year with the Warriors, and we had a mutual friend, and we had some wine together, and we just bonded on just life in general and basketball in general, and that's just formed. And over time, his situation, he didn't like what his situation was at, and me either in Golden State, and he's just like, hey, man, let's just see how this would work. Let's try it out. And DJ wanted to play with us to be, you know, he wanted to, you know, I just play, be that center forward that can kind of hold it down and, you know, play for something, really. Play for a team that's going somewhere, not just keep moving around and bouncing around the league. So we knew it'd be a vital piece for us going forward, not even just as a star, but, you know, a good
being
team.
Being a part of the team.
Yeah,
bro,
just being a part of the team. So right. It just worked out.
Talk about your relationship with Kyrie. Like, as far as what you think you guys will be on the court. I mean, you have, like, people don't understand how important chemistry is. So, like you said, you're developing that real friendship already. So then when you go, like, Jack was my brother, so on the court, I'm going to run through a motherfucking wall for him.
Yeah.
So to know what you have off the court, imagine what it's going to be like on the court.
Yeah, man, that's the thing. I mean, we both want to challenge each other. You know, we don't agree on everything. You know what
I'm
saying?
You're not supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. You know how brothers are. It's like, when I see him out there, I feel like he could be doing more. I'm going to let him know. When he feel like, nah, kid, you don't know what I see and feel out there, I understand that too. But my thing with Kyrie is I'm just going to let him be who he is. He's a pure artist of the game, and he's proven himself on the biggest stage, and in my opinion, made the biggest shot of all time. So for somebody like that, I can't tell him what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just going to kind of work with him and see how we can come together and make this thing work for the whole group. But he's somebody that can control and take over a game.
Incredible.
With the ease of just about anybody who's ever played. So a lot of people want to talk about who he is, his mentality, but if you just watch him on the basketball court, you can't deny it makes you feel while you watch him play.
Now, knowing that you're growing as a player, growing in your mentality, your approach, when you hear him say that off-the-wall shit, even though some of what he said is true, to me, I think you take that to management. But when you put it to the media and you let the media start cracking and doing what the media does, what were your thoughts on that, being an older player seeing that now?
You know, but you know him, though. Like, you know him, so you know exactly what
he's
means.
It's coming from a good place. You know what I mean?
You have to be in that type of shit know exactly what he's saying.
It's not malicious.
Because I done been around a team where I done dealt with some bullshit-ass motherfuckers on my team. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And sometimes they don't understand what the coach's saying. So sometimes you got to either belittle them in the media or just attack them personally. You know what I'm saying? If you want to win, or just be sorry to the motherfucker.
I just think Kyrie I didn't care. I don't think anybody on our team did.
That's what I want to know, where people like,
I don't think anybody cared. Like, man, like, because everybody see who Kyrie is every
day. That's a challenge to me.
Yeah, like,
it's a challenge.
If anything, I'm sure they looked at it that way, but we know Kyrie, so every day when he comes in, like, he doesn't look to, he's not a dick in the locker room. Like, he's just a solid-ass teammate. He's not doing too much. He's doing just enough as a teammate. Mm-hmm. So with him saying that, it's just like, he care about where this group is going. That's how I looked at it. And our teammates, you know, everybody on the team, we just kept it pushing because we know what the media is about. Mm-hmm. We know people just don't like Kyrie as a person.
Point blank.
So whatever he says is going to be blown up and it's going to look like he's being a bad teammate because that's his rap. We get it. We know. It's not like you saying something that's new, like, oh, Kyrie's a shitty teammate. Of course you're going to say that, but we don't see that. I don't see that.
Nobody's never heard one of his teammates say that publicly.
Never.
Not one.
Never. It's just his methods and how he talks to the media is different than the rest of the guys in the league. And you can't, I mean, like I said, the media got such a huge platform that they can pretty much brainwash people to thinking Kyrie is a horrible person because they don't like how he talks to them. But like I said, it ain't about y'all.
Right. What's the vibe in the relationship like with the young LeVert, Dinwiddie, Harris, all yeah. good, young, talented dudes? You guys got LeVert. Some talent, huh?
Yeah. LeVert.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of the singing group.
LeVert. We call him LeVert. But, man, we, at this point, these guys understand what's coming, right? What the expectations are for us as a group. We having the championship mentality. I'm not saying we guaranteeing no chip or we're going to get there easy. But we know when we step on that court, we got to come with that DNA. Every play has to be championship mentality. Every movement that we make, every scout report that we go over has to be looked at as if it's a championship mentality.
Process.
It's a process. And we know how tough that is every single day. So I think everybody on our team is getting used to that. And at the same time, we're struggling sometimes, and we have our ups and downs. But I think all these young dudes getting some great experience. I don't want to call them all my teammates are getting a great experience and knowing what it's like to have two guys that are just waiting, you know, especially me, you know, coming, not playing. Like, they know that once I get out on the court, things are going to start to,
it's going to be some, you know, shit.
People are going to be started be in their right positions. We're going to start to figure out what the team looks like. So I think everybody's just patient.
I'm getting out of patience, but I'm being patient too. I can't wait to see you, DJ, and Kyrie together, how that dynamic. I just think, you know, I've always, anytime I see it, I think a certain play with a pick and roll with you and DJ, and he rolling, you coming out the corner. How can you guard that?
Unstoppable. Yeah. That's how Brandon Knight.
How can you guard that?
That's how Brandon Knight died.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The same type of play.
That's how Brandon Knight died. Hey, if you see that now that we're talking about this, so I was the dude in the corner. So just imagine this.
You was in the game,
right? I was in the corner. So Brandon Knight came off me to try to stop. And if you see me, I'm in the bottom left corner. I jump up and down, cover my face, and I take off running. Like, I'm not going to be a witness to this murder, bro. These cops are not about to question me about what this motherfucker just did to that man. It was the sickest dunk
that was crazy.
That got to be the best dunk
ever.
Yeah, that has to be.
Ever. I mean, Bron got Jason Terry, and that was fucked up, too.
That was bad.
His shoulder blades hit first. But he baptized.
Yeah, they both of their feet was in the air. Yeah, Brandon Knight, his legs was in the air after that. With, like, DJ came out of nowhere.
He's a freak fucking athlete, bro. So, I mean, super strong. He's a perfect, like you said, plug and play dude. He's going to play his role. He talks on defense, ultimate teammate, funny, good dude. Yeah. Thinks he's a black hippie. Yep. Like, he fits in perfect. So, I'm excited to see. Like you said, we got to be patient.
Special, coming next year,
it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, man.
Tell me what it's like. You're an East Coast dude. Tell me what it's like to be in a big city now in New York and living and business and just the energy that is around this city.
Man, it's different.
These big ass rats. I know you've seen one of them.
Man, what?
Motherfuckers.
It's
huge.
Definitely different. I like being here. I actually love it because it's so much going on and it's just so fast paced. You know, coming from California the last few years and then Oklahoma for 8 years.
That's because everybody in California is high.
Yeah, exactly. I just feel like it's nonstop energy here. I like getting up and going outside and seeing so many people moving around and getting to somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's dope being here.
What have you been doing? I mean, you got a lot of goddamn off time now. Like, what are you doing off the court outside of rehabbing your ass off?
Making some dope ass shoes.
Man, that's really what I've been
rocking
in on.
We're
going
to get to
the bank. It ain't time.
I seen that segment.
Be prepared.
No, I hang out with friends. It's just, you know, it's like living the city life, I guess. You know, what you doing around the corner, I'm pulling up to go grab something to eat, go have a drink, go to the bar. Like, it's just the city life, I guess. You know, it's just been.
You ran into any bad celebrity chicks out here yet?
Nah, not shit.
I need to come out here. We need to stroll around a little
not
bit.
Shit.
You might be. I'm with KD. Ain't nobody I can get out and not get with a KD.
Not shit.
What do you think about the pissed off Knicks fans that you didn't? Everyone thought, like, imagine KD going to the Knicks doing this and this, but you took the other route.
Him, everybody.
You know what I mean? You took the other route. So what do you think about the fans that just like?
That's the media hyping that shit up, man. I never came out and said anything about me wanting to play for the Knicks ever.
That was paid advertising.
Ever.
That was paid advertising. They was paying the papers to say that
sales
shit, man.
Ploy.
We know how it go now.
And then when we came here last year, they had the billboards up, and somebody asked me about it, and I wasn't too excited about it because I didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like I got something against the Knicks. I just didn't like all that attention when I was playing for another team. So, like, I never really was big on that New York thing, it was just everybody else, you know, the media and the fans and obviously the New York Knicks fans. And, you know, they wanted a superstar to come play for them finally. But I never promised anybody I was playing for the Knicks. It was just all these stories that people like to read. So if they pissed off, just, you shouldn't be pissed off at me. Just the people that, you know, the shit mm-hmm. that you read and those people who wrote that shit, they hyped you up.
It's easy to be mad. Yeah. Let's go back to the beginning of your career with you, Russ, and James.
Lord have mercy.
Unfucking believable. Tell me what that was like when y'all first kind of finally came together and started clicking.
I mean, we ain't get enough time. I mean, who knows what we could have been.
How long did all three of you guys play together?
3 years.
Long enough to ruin my second ring.
Oh, yeah. Because y'all was supposed to get that one. That was supposed to be the first Miami.
We got up 2-0 on y'all. And yeah, something clicked and you and Russ just... James, too.
James the one.
On the road.
Because me and Russ already had it. We had a cookie when we was down 2-0, but James came along after that, and then we started switching all y'all shit, taking y'all out of all y'all shit then.
And Tony Parker wanted to save the day and fuck the whole shit off, as usual.
Tony Parker had 20-10 in the first half in game 6.
How many turnovers he had
in
other games?
And then after that, he was done.
He was trying to get the MVP.
And then that's when you didn't miss a shot in game 6.
And then couldn't get the pill after that. Couldn't get the rock. This is what I remember. Not only was I wasn't getting the rock, he was killing, and Moms was over there in my ear the whole game.
His mom was talking shit?
Kill him, Kevin! Kill him! Talking bad to me, too. You know, Moms, man, that's family.
Trying to make
game,
you blacker than you already are?
Yes. Yes, you
talk to your motherfucking ass. Lonely, huh? Get his ass.
Yo, if we'd have lost that game, that'd have been tough beating y'all at home, game 7.
That's what we was trying to at least get to a game 7. But
y'all had us up 17 in the first half. I'm like, oh, shit, we might not get to the finals. We fucking around. But, man, that team, we were so young and dynamic, and we, right when we hit our, like, are starting to get to our peak, we trade James. So we didn't really get a chance to see how good we'd have got because that next year we was hungry. We was hungry to get back to that chip. Like, we didn't care about nothing else but getting back to that chip. And that's in preseason, like, we were, you know, in the first few training camp practices, you could tell it was a different energy. And then, boom.
James all it took was y'all not to sign one of them big men. Y'all could have kept James.
No, all it took for us is just sign him. Just kept everybody and just
give him his motherfucking money.
Because you knew he was gonna at least get back, at least make it a rivalry with the Heat. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then when they'd have fizzled out, then
it was your time.
Right.
It was your time. What's your relationship like with these guys now? You know what I mean? They wanted to make it so much. You and Russ didn't get along. James is gone. You left. Russ is, like, what's the relationship like with you guys, though? Because I'm sure it's different than what everyone thinks.
Me and Russ?
Just both those, yeah. Separately.
Oh, man, it's cool. I mean, it's not like it used to be, like, when we were, you know, talked every
brothers,
day.
Uh-huh.
Or, yeah, I mean, it's more professionals now. These dudes got their own lives. They got families. They got kids. Well, Russ got kids. I don't know about James.
Maybe a couple, he might not.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Everybody living their separate lives, man. You're dealing with real three stars in the league. You
right.
know, their own brands. These guys are traveling all summer.
MVPs.
You know, yeah, MVPs. So it's like we're going to all go our separate ways, but there's always respect because... We know what it was like when we all didn't have this notoriety. We didn't have this type of, you know, accolades in the game. We was around each other when we really had nothing in it. As NBA players, we had to start from scratch. So it's fun seeing how big we all made this thing, you know what I'm saying? Because we envisioned that as youngsters.
That's dope.
And that's what I was about to say that. I said, one thing y'all do have in common is y'all all know what it takes to be great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's one thing to always keep y'all with that respect.
I mean, you think about three core and then they all went on to be MVP. Like, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, and they all started, you know what I mean? Like, what if?
Yeah.
What if?
Yeah.
That's just imagine saying switch. Oh, damn. Yeah.
Right. switch again.
I didn't mean to switch. Oh, shit.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, you're getting switched on to three of the best scores.
But the thing is, with James, though, and Russ, they would eventually have to figure out how James could be a starter because we struggled when James started for us. I remember when we played y'all one time and James started. Russ, James, and me were 1, 2, and 3, and it just didn't work.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? It was better when James had the command of the second unit. So eventually we had to figure out if James would become a starter, if he was going to stand that Ginobili role, which was way too small for him.
Right.
Yeah.
He needs way more time out on the court, way more control of shit. So who knows how that'll work, you know what I mean? But it worked out perfectly individually for us all.
That's what it's about. If you take a look in your career, man, you've played with some of the greatest point guards ever.
Yeah.
Russ, Steph, you're going to play with Kyrie. Talk about that.
James. You can
James,
play him in
right?
Yeah.
I mean, lead guards are just something I always gravitated towards, even as a kid. You know, my best friend on the team was a point guard. Every stop, you know, from middle school to high school, you know, me and Tywan Lawson were like this, you know what I'm saying? Roommates everywhere, you know? Me and DJ Augustine, still brothers to this day. So always, as a scorer, you know, somebody that's going to give you that pill.
Come on, homie, come fuck
come
with
on,
me.
Come on, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right.
We homies from day one, so I always enjoyed lead guards, and I always felt like I wanted to play like them. You know, I wanted to
be able to
go through the lane like Russ and boom. You know, I took stuff from him. Steph, obviously, the way how quick he shoots the three and his handling, him get to the cup as a little guy. Like, I admire all of that shit about point guards more so than anybody else on the floor because they got to be leaders. They got to defend the hardest position. They got to make sure everybody getting their shot. So, like, I just have major respect for guards.
Tell me who were some of the best teammates you ever played with.
Besides Matt, of course.
Now, we only got 3 months. Fucked up thing about, not to cut you off, the fucked up part about it is, so I go to Golden State, I'm in the Boogie shit, and they trade Boogie. I think we're going to make the playoffs, play the Warriors, probably get smacked, but we putting Sacramento back on the map. Yeah. They trade Boogie. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm old. I gotta make a move. So I'm talking to Draymond every single day. I'm talking to Clay, Steph. They're talking to Bob. We want to, but we might need another point guard. So it's back and forth.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, I'm fucking around working out with my kids, and we go to KFC. And Steve hits me like, oh, man, we lost Kevin tonight. We need you, you know? So I come in, they plug me in. This is what you made fun of me with the Steph shit when I, you know, slipped. But I come in, I play 25 minutes my first game. We rolling. His first game back, like, I almost break my ankle and I'm pretty much done.
Yep.
So we never got the chance to play together on the floor.
And that'd have been a nice combo because I'd have been like the five in that group. Me, you, Draymond, Steph and Clay.
And y'all wouldn't have to teach him how y'all play. He used to it.
Yeah, that's the selfish.
We felt like him and Andre were like, I wouldn't say we interchangeable. It's like, shit, it's two different dynamics. We can get Andre that can kind of like be that athletic fly, make the passes, and also switch everything. And then Matt was like more of a standstill, toughness, rebound, get you 10 bounds, and hit the three. And I felt like, fuck, we really about to sweep through all of this shit. And then I got hurt. Then you fucked
up. I got hurt.
Bad.
I tell people, only time I missed was when I get suspended. Like, I'm going into the playoffs. I got a chance to win a ring finally. I know my career's coming, you know, I'm on my back nine. And KD's back, so I'm juiced. I come out, hit my first two threes, and then I go up and I land on someone's ankle, bro. And I tell you, my ankle exploded.
You ran back to the locker room. I was like, damn.
I tried my hardest, too. I was smoking so much weed, hoping that shit would make my shit go down, icing it, rehab. Like, I got to get back out there for these dudes, and I could just never get healthy. And then once I'm feeling somewhat okay, these motherfuckers are 8-0 already. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm smart enough to know, like, you don't disrupt that flow. I don't give a fuck who you are.
Yeah.
So I'm just over here running, getting ready in case something happens, staying in shape, being a vet, talking to Clay, talking to dudes when they need to talk, lean on me, whatever. And I just had to, you know, take it as a fan. So that's almost why, like, when I tell people, like, that shit was given, I don't really count it. You know what I mean? Like, that shit was a freebie. I said, I had the best motherfucking seats.
Yeah,
and I watched these
experience.
Boys, but that was the best part.
Yeah. Kid, man. Oh,
the twins.
Man,
they was hanging everywhere. I mean, they was having shootouts with this dude in the Western Conference Finals in practice. You know what I mean? And hanging with Steph and Clay and on the plane in the hotel. And you can't replace that shit.
That shit was a real family vibe.
Which it was dope, man.
That shit was like...
It's different.
Eric Housen, that's y'all know.
Oh, E. Come on, man. We knew E back when he used to sleep in the equipment room, bro.
E is the
greatest dude ever.
Greatest dude ever.
All time.
He's the reason why the Warriors are the Warriors, in my opinion. Just like that atmosphere.
Process of the grind.
Everything together, man. Like, he makes sure everybody's straight, your family's straight. Like, that's what that shit is about.
His name in jersey definitely
come on,
going up.
Got you gotta get a street somewhere or
all
something.
That.
That's how
Fact.
Big he is to the
Shout
Warriors.
Out E, man.
Yeah,
Shout
man.
Out E. But back to, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but best teammates.
I had so many, man. Fuck. I mean.
No coin cookie, boy.
My brother to the death. So happy for him. But, you know, you shit. Man, that whole Warriors mob, my Thunder teams, that any team that you have a run with.
You fuck with.
You
life.
Fuck with, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you go past, if you go to second round, like, not just the first round run. You go to second
shit.
Round.
We only made it to the first, but you couldn't tell us shit,
we won
right?
a championship after the first round.
Man, but y'all went to the second round, though.
That's we went to the second round. We won a championship
if
after the
If you lose in that first right. round, it's just like, it's right, that's whatever. Just an extra
You
week.
Made it, right.
But like, if you got 2-3 weeks out of the
you
season.
You prolonged summer.
You fuck with everybody on that team.
Yeah.
And especially if you go to a chip run like you've been on. And like we was on, like, you fuck with everybody on that mob. So just shit, just about everybody. It's like only a couple people that I just was like, didn't care too much about. But like, I always respected them. But shit, I don't want to just name
All
names.
Of them. Yeah, it was a good run, hell of a run. Teams. I like yeah. that. Talk to me about, because you're someone, you and your man Rich, shout out Rich. Rich is back here. You guys know him.
Rich.
The other side of the game, like, you are really taking advantage of business. And I think that might have started. I mean, obviously, you guys have a great team, but, you know, that's one of the main reasons, you know, the Bay Area is what it is, that and what you're doing in film and everything.
Well, I mean,
I got tired of motherfuckers talking about me. I'm asking for them. I got tired of motherfuckers saying shit about me, so I created my own shit, Boardroom ETC and other shit, just so I could create my own
narrative. PG County, PG County coming out.
PG County, all that, to tell y'all what's really going on, so y'all can stop making up shit.
Definitely. I mean, that's really what it is. We want to have some shit that we own, that something that I could eventually, you know, do when I'm done playing, like, you know, tell stories how we wanted to tell them, give people our perspective on shit. There's so many platforms out nowadays, and, you know, you want to figure out ways to separate yourself and make cool content. And we came up with the Boardroom. We got PG County Docs. We doing shows for Apple. I mean, I could go down the line on shit that we want to do and that we did, but, like, you know, but the courts that we refurbished and the communities that we help, I think that's really what it's about for us, alongside of obviously the cool content shit that we do and platforms that we created. Just the impact that we have on these communities that I play in and that I lived in around these times is probably the most impactful thing that we can do.
Yeah, that training camp you had behind the walls and working with them guys hooping and stuff,
sir.
It don't get no deeper than that.
No.
When you come from that, and you know we got so many people behind the walls that'll never get that experience.
That's the Warriors did a good. They do a great job with that. You know, they go to San Quentin every the start of every season.
Jack, clip your jewelry, man. It's not shining the right way.
Bing.
Come on now.
Appreciate you, my guy.
So I went with them that one time, and then we did the doc on it. We did the doc on for FS1, called Q-Ball about San Quentin, and that shit.
Dope.
Man, you know how the game just bring everybody together, so just speak on that more so than anything was dope.
So many, shout out so PG. Many guys back in the jail that could have been in the league.
Oh, there's no question.
I'm shout
sure. out. Yeah. PG County, you're doing with Showtime, right?
Yeah.
So we got to shout out PG
shout
County.
Out
Doc coming soon.
You know.
Shameless plug. Trying to get that money.
Yes, sir.
But actually, Morgan Wooten passes. Mm. You know, talk about that.
Man, that's tough. You know, the basketball communities, I mean, forget the basketball, the community in general has so much love and respect for Morgan Wooten and what he's done for so many young black men in our area. Not just black men, but just men in general. And, you know, helping them get to college and just turn their lives around through the game of basketball. He impacted so many generations of people, you know, and to hear about him passing was definitely tough, you know, because, like I said, that's all I knew about. That's who all players coming up wanted to play for was Morgan Wooten and go to DeMathis. So his legacy is going to live forever through his players, through his memories, through his family. And he's a part of the basketball community, a huge part of the community forever. I'm sure a Hall of Famer.
You've invested in some dope tech communities, Coinbase, Master and Dynamics. You have, you know, a lot of different stuff going on. Where did the hunger for tech come in?
I mean, just always seeing, you know, it start from getting the newest video games to getting the newest gadgets to getting to cell phones, to, you know, just progressing over time. You know, our life is basically run off of these things. And, you know, so to get an up close and personal look on how this stuff is created and the work and the time that it takes to create these things, I think that was interesting. And moving to the Bay Area kind of gave me a real in-depth look on what this really is about. And we just started building relationships, and then went from there, and attaching ourselves to companies that are real authentic to what I do as well, and what we do at 35 Ventures. So it just playing for the Warriors, winning basketball games, and having those people at our game
crazy,
is pretty
right?
easy.
Crazy
to build those relationships.
Plug. The plug. Talk to me about your your brother Rich, the partnership and love you guys have for each other, but also the friendship and what he has meant to your off the court movement and success?
Man, it meant a lot, you know. So when I went over to, I had two agents before the time. I was with Palinka and Aaron Goodwin, two great agents over time, and I just wanted to change, and I went over to Roc Nation, and Rich was the first guy to greet me and kind of take over what I was doing. And we just built that relationship over time, and we had conversations over time about what it would look like if we started something together, and we just did it. We just went and did it, and, you know, with the blessing and the from everybody that we worked with before, and, you know, having that kind of like that teaching from what Rich had at Roc Nation and learning the business and learning just lifestyle in general, entertainment business, sports, loving sports.
How they all intersect.
Yeah, just how they all intersect. And somebody that was so well-versed in everything, well-rounded in everything, I wanted to be a part of what I did. So it made sense at the time.
What does the advancement in mental health in this era that players are more susceptible to talking about it mean to you?
I feel like every player wants to give a deeper perspective on what they go through as just men in general, and especially in this life, in this profession. And it's a lot of mental hurdles and obstacles that you got to run through in order for you to reach your highest peak as an individual. So whether it's the great times or whether it's like the low points in your life, I feel like just hearing that perspective is only going to help others. And to have the courage to talk about it in front of people is something I enjoy seeing from my peers. And the judgment, there's no judgment from anybody. It's real open, dope dialogue when it comes to it. And I think it's a perfect time for it.
What does it do to your psyche or your mental approach when you hear people talk crazy to you? Disrespectful, negative. Like, what does that do? I mean, to be who you are, like we talked about earlier, people think you just turn your back. You choose not to, which I respect. But what does it do to you when you just always hear, because people don't really know you.
Yeah.
They know the player, and that's what they don't like. So
yeah.
To be able to separate the player and the person, what does it mean to you as the person when, if they knew you, they would really fuck with you, but they don't, they know the player, so they want to hate on you?
It just all depends on the environment, you know? If I'm out on the street, nobody's ever walked up to me and disrespected me.
No, they wouldn't.
Ever.
Right.
Not like that.
Right.
It ain't gonna
nobody
happen.
Coming up to me and calling me no bitch in my face,
mm-hmm.
or saying anything disrespectful to anybody I'm with, because I don't give off that energy, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I don't come off as if I'm bigger than life or, you know, you owe me anything. So I don't get that in person, but on the internet it's different. You know, you're gonna get all types of shit on the internet, and that is what it is. It's fun. Everybody uses that place to kind of get off that anger that they always had, you know, mm-hmm. and which they would never say in person.
Ever.
So it's like, I get what you're using it for, but at games when fans heckle me and talk shit about me and call me all types of names and tell me I got the worst hair in the league, that shit powers me up. It makes me feel like I'm the best player in the world, because you come here to talk shit to me, I obviously made you feel away.
Mm-hmm. Right, there's only a reason.
There's only a reason. So, you know, it just powers me up to another level. It charges me up. I like it. I enjoy it. I actually encourage it.
I got some, talking about your hair, I got some men's grooming products with some dope shit that Jack just, fucks with some of it.
I'm just going to go ahead and get that Dion. So, Dion. Whoever did your
Dion,
shit.
Dion, yeah.
Back.
Yeah, he all the way live.
I
no bullshit. He all the way live.
I'm telling you.
Is LeBron going to make the transformation? What's he going to do? Is he going to...
I think
he's home.
It's kind of too late because he already got the back nine.
The back nine is leaving?
He got the swimming pool in the backyard, so that's already there. How can you cover that?
So is he just
artificial
has to come,
turf?
Just come home and go bald with it?
I'm just saying.
I think eventually dude's going to go bald.
I think that's the best bet.
I think I'd be fucked up if I had to go bald.
Because the world and seeing the headband push, you know what I'm saying? The world and seeing the headband push that line back. The whole little apartment
ain't
was
no coming,
coming
back.
Off. Yeah, it wasn't glued down together that night.
He make it work. He make it work though.
Okay. Yeah, he make
definitely
that thing.
Window headband.
You got to keep the headband away. The headband is too.
The headband fucked
like,
up.
You know what I mean? It's too tough on the line.
It exposed him.
Yeah, that shit is tough.
He make that thing work.
He definitely make it work. You got that's Bron. That's the cane.
Do what he
definitely.
Wants.
Definitely.
When you hear people talk about, because to me at one point playing against you, playing with you. It wasn't taken away from LeBron's greatness and his tracker, what he's accomplished throughout his career and what he continued to accomplish. At the current time, you were the best player in the world. Did you ever feel that way?
I felt unstoppable for sure.
It's taking long for you to answer that.
No,
bro.
I felt unstoppable because I don't really look at it as like I'm better than anybody. I ain't trying to look at it that way. Because
okay, I respect that.
Everybody brings something unique and different to the table, and the circumstances and situations is different. Like, you know, you never know how good dudes would be in certain situations. Mm-hmm. So I know I got a lot of talent, and I know I can do everything on the court, and I know I can play any role at an efficient and elite level. Whatever that puts me, that's whatever it is. I'm sure any coach or any GM will love my talents on their team.
Right. Shit.
So like, Wherever that puts me, man. You know what I mean? So that's how I looked at it.
If that had been me to make that three in Cleveland in the finals to win the championship.
Hold up.
Fuck your mama, everybody, oh, Lord. I don't know what I would have done. Man. I don't know what I would have made that a big shot like that.
You
like,
bitch, you.
I'm the best in the world. This is why. I would have told everybody. Like, I would have lost it.
Man, I felt like
to feel some of that inside.
I felt that. I felt that shot gonna always be. Mm. They're going to rewind that.
Remember, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They're always going to rewind that back. And if they don't, I'm sure everybody in the Bay Area is. And that's good enough for me.
But you hit that same shot when you came back in the finals this year, top of the key, that same walk-up three.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that next season.
That boy came in cooking, too.
Same walk-up three.
Boy came in cooking. I was scared, though, because I was in Hawaii watching you. I remember one time you got fouled, but you took someone off the dribble. I'm like, no, KD, just stay out on the three-point line and just shoot these motherfucking eyeballs out for the rest of the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You talk about this last finals. Yeah,
yeah. And when you took, if someone fouled you, then they stopped and I just like, ah,
and it's hard. You know, man. Shit, you get into that zone. It's hard for you to, like. It's hard for
you. So used to doing something.
Yeah, I can't, like,
100.
I can't.
You got to go 100.
Got to go 100.
Yeah.
Got to. And I was like, I felt good enough to go 100. And it was like, man, you need some rest right now. Good shit.
It looked good as fuck, bro. Yeah. Okay, I know you, like, the first three that went in.
And my whole thing is, like, I like having those moments where people going to always be like, damn, those 11 minutes, though, those 12 minutes.
Yes, bro.
That boy was on something. Yes, I like having that little feeling, man, because that's what the game about.
That's dope. Top five artists.
Come on. I mean, I'm just going to say Drake is creeping up to be the greatest.
Of all time?
Yeah.
You can't fight that?
Yeah. That's the only thing I'll say.
Is there anyone else in the category?
Jay-Z is going to be hard to... It's always hard to compete against Jay-Z.
To dethrone him.
He done opened up so many lanes and doors for everybody in his music shit. But when I listen to music... And listen to Drake, it's just hard to deny what he got to say. We could talk about music all fuck. Like, I feel like Wayne is a GOAT when we talking about this time.
He had touched the status already.
It's the lane that he created for these dudes. It's the only reason why a lot of these rappers is in the game.
Yep.
Young Thug, same way. Future, the same way. Hov, the same way. Yep. Like, Drake, I feel like they all on that same plane.
Opening the doors. Like, all different styles are opening doors for everybody.
I feel like they unlock so many different genres within hip-hop. It's not just one thing now. Like, I feel like it's all different types of hip-hop, different lanes that they opened up. And so many other kids got these opportunities now to change their lives off of it. So, like, it's hard for me to name a few artists, but, like...
You like NBA Youngboy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's all I listen to.
Boy, he go hard.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I mean, Kodak Black, Black is... He one of the ones for me. Gunna.
Yes.
Like, they one of those ones where I can listen to all day, every day. And really, really respect them like they OGs in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, them dudes young, but they get it. You know what I'm saying?
The baby. I like it. You go hard. If you could have one, like, song that you walk out to, what would that be?
Of all time?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Damn. That's tough.
What's your Rocky music? What's your Rocky thing?
That's tough. I'm going to have to go. It's got to be Jay-Z. It's going to have to be... It's gonna have to be public service announcement, Jay-Z. It's gonna have to be a Wayne. Fuck, man.
That's tough.
That's tough. I'm gonna go with public service announcement then.
What would yours be?
Yeah.
Some Pac shit. Yeah.
Anything Pac.
Pac.
Just hardcore Pac.
Hardcore.
Pac is the greatest?
Yeah, to me he is. Cause I think he had a song for every mood that we naturally go through.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're black, white, male, female, like there's love, there's anger, there's happiness, there's kill, there's all the emotions we go through. That motherfucker had a hit for all of them.
True.
You know what I mean? And to be so young and so far ahead of his time as far as vision. You know what I mean? And seeing what the world can be. But then in similar ways, like he's speaking his mind against the bullshit he's seen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So to me,
He had like black protest music on top of like
he was raised,
music,
yeah,
like street shit, like yeah,
love, you know what I mean, babies, like you know what I mean. So to me, that's why he's my go-to. You've been name dropped, Drake, J. Cole, Jay-Z, to name a few. What was your favorite song your name was dropped in?
Probably that Western Road Flows, that Drake. Shout out to KD, we relate, we get the same attention. Like, mm-hmm. And that was back then, before I was getting even as much attention as I was. That was
like, OKC, right?
Yeah, and I was mm-hmm. like, when I was just
That's when me and you was doing songs.
We got a song.
Y'all rap together, right?
Yeah, man, we got to get back in.
But. Yes, sir.
I seen the joint you dropped, a little snippet you dropped. You yeah. I replayed that joint back.
Hold it tight.
That shit was hard. But nah, that Drake was, that was probably the best one. He was really, really flowing on that record. But, you know, shit, anytime any rapper, any artist can think about me while they going through their process, I appreciate that.
But just how you wordplayed that shit was crazy.
He's slick as fuck with it.
No,
I fuck with Drake.
That's how you really know you kind of made it, though.
He talented, bro.
When you cross over to the entertainment side, when people, you know, putting your name in raps and in their art, that shit is amazing. I appreciate it. So
it's just dope. If you could have played in another era of basketball, 70s, 80s, 90s, what would it be and why?
I would want to see MJ in his heyday, like...
You want to get looked at by MJ?
Yeah, for sure.
He said, I want to.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. I mean, because he wouldn't have played against a guy my length.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That
right.
Can actually shoot as well and get to the rim. They could score. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like that would have been a fun matchup. And it would have been tough to fucking... MJ was... He the greatest, man.
Yeah.
And just to be on the court and just soak up that greatness and compete against that, that would have been like some...
Imagine KD with Sean Kemp and Gary Payton.
That'd have been the toughest series for them boys.
That would have been a ring.
That'd have been a tough.
That would have been a ring. You put KD on that team, that would have been a ring.
See, that's when I started looking at myself a little different now. I was like, hold up, so if I could start on that team for the Sonics, like I could start on a couple teams back in the 90s, I feel like my game and strength can translate, you know, through errors. So, you know, that's how I start, you know, look at myself a little different after that.
That's
dope. You know what I'm saying?
That's big. If you could pick four other legends to hoop with you at the park, you're in. Who are your other four?
Shaq, MJ, Kobe.
I'm going to tell you, ain't nobody else showing up
and,
to that park.
And the cameraman, one of the cameramen.
Ain't nobody else showing up to that park, bro. Y'all going to be, ain't nobody else showing up.
Who's your fifth?
Fuck.
My fifth gotta be probably T-Mac. Mm. I say we play 2-on-2s and then add another guy, maybe 3-on-3s, but that team couldn't play against nobody.
She's a Chico.
Man, no way.
Best player you've ever played with? You played with some motherfuckers too, boy.
You ain't played with Kyrie yet, so
nah,
he ain't. So,
I ain't putting, nah. I
but he
put
not
Kyrie.
In the conversation.
Nah, he can't be. I ain't played with him.
Yeah, you ain't played with him yet.
It's a tie between Steph and Russ. Mm. It's got to be.
Two killers. What? Two completely different styles,
say,
too.
Two game changers.
Yeah, because Russ, I never, ever feared that he was gonna lose a matchup. I never come into the game and was like, oh, Russ just can't handle this guy tonight. You know what I'm saying? That's one
That's
thing I
crazy.
Never worried about. And it's like, as a leader of a team, you worry about so much shit coming into a game. It's like, is Andre going to be able to knock down a shot tonight? Mm-hmm. Is he going to be aggressive? Is he going to shoot with confidence? Is Serge going to shoot with confidence? They going to be into it. They going to make sure they locking in on their matchup. So much to the point you forget about yourself sometimes. And one thing I didn't ever have to worry about was Russ. And having that comfort and having that type of, like... just knowing I can have that ease coming into the game from the point guard.
Got somebody to rely on.
Yeah, it was just like made my life easier. And I felt the same way with Steph. You know what I'm saying? Because like I know for a fact that no point guard want to guard him because he ain't going to stop moving. So that's going to take a little bit of energy from him. And he going to play with that dog where it's like he trying to destroy you when he was scoring. You know what I'm saying? And our game plan was to get him open at all times. He's not going to stop. And so I can rely. When you can rely on people, him, damn, I forgot. And Clay, too. I got to put Clay in there with them, too.
They all winners.
They all the same type. Yeah, they got the dog. Clay got the dog. Like, authentically, he's authentic dog. Like, nose roll. I'm going to knock down this tray ball. I'm gonna get to the cup hand there, but I'm locking up the player in front of me. And like those three, is a tie between those three of my favorites.
That's dope.
Yeah, they made my life way easier mentally.
Dope. Last question. Jack and I are people who use cannabis during our career and really try to advocate for it now. We feel like if it's used correctly, it could be very beneficial for athletes in today's game. I know you feel similar with that. You've invested in a cannabis company. Tell me what you think about the nature of cannabis and how professional sports can implement it into bettering their athletes in recovery.
Well, I just think it should be taken off the banned substance list. And if, you know, you don't have to implement it in anything. It's one of those plants that if it's an acquired taste, like if you love it, you love it. If you don't, you're not even going to pick it up. So, right. Like, it shouldn't even be a discussion nowadays. It's just like marijuana is marijuana. It's not harmful to anybody. It only can help and enhance and do good things. And I feel like it shouldn't even be a huge topic around it anymore. Like, is it great? Is it good for you? Can it help? Is it bad? But when everybody on my team drinks coffee every day,
right,
you know,
right,
and taking caffeine every day, or guys go out to have wine after games, or have a little drink here and there. It's like marijuana should be in that tone. Like, why are we even talking about it? It shouldn't even be a conversation now. So hopefully we can get past that and the stigma around it, and know that it's done nothing but
make people have a good time.
Make people have a good time. Make people hungry. Make people just come together. That plant brings us all together.
Focus.
So,
man, relaxation.
Yeah,
good job, baseball. Great job.
Great job, baseball.
MLB, we feeling
start
you guys.
Getting people out of jail for marijuana. That's the next step. And we just keep going. But it's a plant that's put here for a reason, and it's to all bring us together, man. Hopefully it happens, especially in the NBA.
Right.
KD, we appreciate you, my brother.
No, bro.
Sir. Thank you for taking some time.
Sir. We missed the Vegas segment, so I need some shoes, dog.
Oh, no, we got to get back online. Oh, we're not done yet. Real quick, be quiet.
And blame him, because he posted all them shits on his page.
Okay, here we go.
Blame him.
So this is a special segment, KD. We like to call Jack's a motherfucking banger, but it's working out well. Jack, what do you need from KD?
Shoes. The shoes.
Which ones?
All of them.
All of them.
Your boy been posting them. You got some new kicks out.
But
this, my son, you know, you sent my son some last ones. I appreciate that. He brought them to my attention. You got some new ones out. So it just so happened, I follow your boy. It's a lot of colors going on. You even got Inspired a pair.
Damn.
I'm on all of them. Me and my son need them. It's the biggest segment.
And I'm just going to tell Rich, because he's behind the camera, my twin, the AU team, needs a new shipment of KD's. Rich, appreciate you.
Appreciate you, KD.
We need those. Maybe a couple colors, because we're nice as fuck, by the way.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
G1 Elite, we nice. Yeah, we just won the MLK tournament a couple weeks ago, man. We doing it. But anyway, man, KD, we appreciate you. Jack needs some shoes. What size?
14.
14s. Yeah. Man, that's a wrap. Episode 14. You can catch us on Showtime Basketball YouTube or all platform streaming podcasts.
All of them.
2020 Takeover. All the smoke. You bitch, you.